There's not a topic in the world that I am more passionate about than this topic. There's not a topic that I have taught on more at this church than this topic. Kind of running joke is that I have 8 sermons. Well, this will be about 5 of the 8 that I have during this series. Because I think it's that vital for us to grasp. I think out of everything else that the Bible teaches, if you can grasp these principles, they will overflow into all the other principles. YOLO. We've all used that phrase, especially us old people that are trying to sound hip. We're not hip. Is that even a word, hip? We're trying to sound cool. YOLO, you only live once. Sounds great, doesn't it? And it's true. The reality is, you only live once. You only have one shot at this amazing thing called life. You only have one chance, and there are no do-overs in this thing called life. Every day we get up and we're faced with this decision. We can live the life that we were created for, or we can live a life without purpose. That's the two choices. There is no in-between. Live the life you were created for. Seize the day, make the most of every moment because you never get those moments back. Or live life wandering aimlessly. No purpose, no passion, nothing to get you out of bed in the morning. Living your life in chaos. Living your life in drama. Trying to get, this ain't even part of the sermon. Trying to get that dopamine hit on all the unhealthy things instead of what God created you for. You want to experience a high in life? Do what God created you to do. You want to experience the ultimate peace in life? I didn't say you would never have turmoil, but live the life God created you for. You want to live a life of excitement and knowing that when you get out of bed in the morning and your feet hit the ground, that hell trembles. Live the life you were created for. I have more fun asleep than most people have awake. Christine got up yesterday morning. On Saturday mornings, we get to sleep late. Sleeping late in the Lamb house simply means that we have no alarm. I was up at 5:15 yesterday morning. Wide awake in bed, my mind was processing and thinking. She got up about 5:30. I thought she was up. She was only going to the restroom. She gets out of bed. I'm like, hey! You know what I was thinking about today? I know we were going to go do X, Y, Z, but you know, Jeep Fest is in town, and if we go through that road, we're not going to be able to get to where we wanted to go, so I don't think we're going to be able to do that. And hey, we could go around this part. We could go to Conn's Creek and Ball Ground and go around our elbow to our butthole, but we could get to that destination and not sit in traffic. She said, it's 5:30 in the morning on Saturday. I said, but I've been thinking about it. She said, no, good morning, honey. I said, I thought you were up. She said, I was going to the restroom. And I said, but then you were going to go back to sleep? Like, it's Saturday. It's time to be up. Like, I hate sleeping. Like literally, I will wake up sometimes exhausted. And Christine's like, what's wrong with you? I don't know what you really technically call them. But I have very real life dreams. So they're not crazy dreams like I'm riding a unicorn somewhere. They're like real dreams. So like I wake up and I'm all jacked up like I've just put some big festival on and it's 3 days long and I'm sweating and I'm like, man, I just cussed this guy out and I did this and man, we brought this. And she's like, you can't even rest in your sleep. I said, well, I have no control over what goes on in my mind while I'm sleeping. But it's a life of passion. It's a life of purpose. It's a life of knowing that I don't want to waste 1 second of life. I don't understand. And hear me out. I get everybody's different. So I'm just saying for me, I'm not dogging you if you're like this. I don't get people who sleep. Like, I don't want to waste my life sleeping. Sleeping late, I don't get that. It's weird to me. Like, life is up. I want to be going and moving and doing stuff because I'm passionate about the life I've lived. There's very few things that I remember that my dad taught me growing up. Just like any kid, I didn't listen to half of what he said, and now I look back and remember and realize he was right about everything. But one of the things I remember about my dad, my whole life, my dad was very well off. He was very successful in the business world, and he was miserable. And he would tell me all the time, he said, "Son, do something you love with your life. It's too late for me. I've already got bills and this and that's due, and I can't just start over." And I always remembered that, and I've always lived the life I wanted to live. And it's created chaos in my life sometimes and drama in my life. And as I've got healthier, though, I've learned to live the life that I was created for and enjoy those moments and have peace in those moments. But sadly, I've been in the people business for 28 years since I was 20 years old. And here is the stone cold reality of the situation. The large majority of people will never live the life they were created for. It's sad. Most people will live life going through the motions and live life with what if, live life with regret, live life never having the testicular fortitude to step out and take the risk and take the chance to live the life they want to live. Every sense of the word, we've seen the old Bill Murray movie Groundhog Day where he got up and it was the same day every day, and that's the life most of us come. And we are taught in our country to live our life in a way that when you finally get in your 70s, you can retire and enjoy life. I don't want to enjoy life, I don't want to wait to enjoy life when I'm in my 70s. I might not make it to my 70s. I want to live life now. I want to take the risk. I want to lay on my deathbed and know I did everything in my power to do what I felt God had called me to do. I recently moved offices, but before I moved to Ball Ground with our new offices, I had offices in downtown Canton. My offices were on the back side of North Street, and as you walked out of my office door, there was the old Canton Cemetery. I don't know if you've ever been to the Canton Cemetery. That seems a little creepy, and I get it. But it's an amazing cemetery. So when I would be on the phone, I would walk around, and I would always end up walking through the cemetery while I was on the phone. It was shaded. It was nice. And it was just amazing, all the big monuments. And it was amazing to see all the different names. So many names in that cemetery of people who still live in this community, their family going back. And just some amazing monuments. We used to kind of treat death different back in the day. It was kind of a way of honoring the deceased. Some amazing sculptures up there. It's a cool place. But here's the deal with every one of those tombstones. It doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is, how elaborate it is, or how small it is. It doesn't matter whose name is on it. It can be a family that is very well known in the Canton area. And it can be a family you've never heard of. Every one of them have a day the person was born, the day the person died, and in between is this little thing called a dash. And that dash signifies everything they did and everything they accomplished with the one and only life they have. It doesn't matter if they live to their 20s. It doesn't matter if they live to their 90s. It doesn't matter when they died. It doesn't matter if they lived a fruitful life or they died at a young age. Everything can be summed up in that dash. And that puts things in perspective for you. What do you want your dash to say? At the end of your life, do you want to look back and know that you played it safe and went through the motions and never took the risk to live life the way you were created to? Or do you want to know you live life for all that it was? And oh, by the way, if you're breathing today, how many of you are actually breathing today? I didn't say you look like you're breathing, but you're actually breathing. If you're breathing today, there's no time like today to start living. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. You have the rest of your life to live. The problem is so many of us die before we ever die. So many of us quit living before we ever die. We literally are the walking dead. We're walking around, we're like zombies, but we quit living so many years ago. You're not promised tomorrow. In the grand scheme of the universe, we are but a speck. And why wouldn't we capitalize on this amazing thing called life? There are no do-overs. There are no coming back as something else. This is your YOLO. You only live once. And my question through this series is are you living life for all that it is? The Bible says in James this. This kind of puts it in perspective. It says, what is your life? You're just a mist. The King James says you're but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Anybody ever seen anybody vape? Vape, the new thing's vaping. Vape. I saw something the other day, said America went downhill when people quit smoking Marlboro Reds and started smoking strawberry cheesecake. I said, amen, I shared it. But a vape, you blow out a vape, and it just disappears. You can vape inside. You can vape in your car. Because at the end of the day, the vape comes out, and it just goes away. The Bible says, in the grand scheme of things, that's your life. You don't know when you're promised another day. So why wouldn't we make sure that we're living life for all that we are? We're starting this series today called YOLO, and the premise of the series is real easy. To live the life you were created for, you've got to make some conscious decisions to live that life. You've got one chance to get it right. Each and every one of us, the life that we're dreaming about looks different, but there's some principles we've got to have if at the end of that life we want to know that we made a difference. The Bible says in John 10:10, it says, I came so they may have real and eternal life, a more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Let me tell you something. God wants you to live a life of passion. God wants you to live a life of purpose. God created you. And God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't screw things up. God wants to bless you. Now, here's the problem in the church world. We've taken that word bless, and we've turned that into financial blessing only. So it means God wants you to be financially stable. I mean, he does want you to be financially stable. Financially abundant. It might be that, but it might just be that God wants you to live a life of peace, a purpose, of passion, of knowing you're making a difference and you're seizing every freaking moment in this amazing thing called life. Because here's the reality, and I get different people have different mindsets, but life is amazing. Do not let the news media convince you that it is not. Do not let social media convince you that it is not. We live in a day and time where you can find anything on the internet to justify your negative feelings. But at the end of the day, the reality is you got up today, and that's better than the alternative. And if you don't think it's better than the alternative, you've bought into a lie of the devil. God wants to do great things through you. Life is amazing. Even when life sucks, life is amazing. We get to get up and make the most of every day. God wants you to live that passionate life. God wants you to awaken that fire that is inside of you. God wants you to live a life full of purpose, but most people will never experience that life, and it blows my mind. My dad listens to my sermons every week, and my dad is kind of a sensitive dude, and I love him, and this is probably going to offend him when he hears it. But my dad will send me texts, and I appreciate the sentiment of what he's sending me. But he'll send me texts all the time. I'm so proud of you. I appreciate that. But I live vicariously through you. No, that's pathetic. I love my dad. I don't want him living vicariously through me. You go seize the moment. You go live what you were created for. You're still on this earth. You go make the most of everything. Life is too short to live life going through the motions. Most people exist, but they do not live. And that's pathetic. And the reality is, some of you right now, your heart is pounding and your hands are getting clammy and your head's starting to sweat because you know you're one of those people. You know you were created for something more. You're just not living that life because it's easy to get into the rut of going through the motions. It's easy to get comfortable in our discomfort. It's easy to settle for, and then you know what we do is we find other miserable people to do life with who endorse and validify and validate our miserable existence. Well, I don't know anybody, isn't every marriage suck? All my friends' marriages suck, then find you some new people to hang out with. Doesn't everybody struggle financially? Everybody I know, then find you some people who are successful financially. Doesn't everybody get up and go to a job they hate? No, they don't. And the fact that you think that shows you have bought into the indoctrination of the enemy. God created you for a purpose, and the devil loves nothing more than to nullify that purpose, to distract you from that purpose, to get you off sight in that purpose. I believe there's five key elements to living a life of purpose. I believe there's five things. Now, what I call these is the bones of YOLO. These are the bones of living your life. The bones are always the same. Now, here's the deal. Your skin might be different than my skin. What you do might be different than what I do, but there's some bones you got to have. Christine and I got in the truck yesterday. We took off driving, and we just went around. We had some time in the morning, and somehow we ended up in a new neighborhood where they were building new homes. They had seven different models, I think, out there. So every home on the exterior looked different. But at the end of the day, the bones of all those houses were the same. They had I'm going to show you my non-building knowledge here. They had a foundation. Okay, they had a foundation, bless God. They had a framing, okay, electrical, bathrooms. Oh, they didn't have bathrooms? Plumbing. A roof. So once they built the bones, the skin looked different. We went and looked at three houses that were all the exact same floor plan on the inside. I didn't know what a floor plan was until yesterday, but now I do. I also know that homes are expensive now. Wow! Holy smokes. Like the price of some of the homes we looked at yesterday, and they were nice homes, but they weren't like that nice. Like I remember being a kid, if you'd have told me a home cost that much, I thought that would have got you on MTV Cribs. Like, I thought that was what rappers paid for houses. Couldn't believe it. I said, how much is that house? And I can reach out and touch my neighbor. But here's the deal. Same floor plan, three houses. But on the outside, they all look different. Some were rock. Some had black siding, because, you know, everything's got to be black now. Some were white. On the outside, if you looked at the three houses, you would have not known they were the same house on the inside. So what I'm telling you is your life that you live will not look like the life I live. Your life that you live will not look like the life the person next to you lives. But these foundational issues over the next 5 weeks, if you can grasp them, it will change your life. Once you build the bones and the foundation, God will begin to reveal the skin to you. So what are those five things we're going to cover? I don't normally ever tell you ahead of time what I'm going to talk about, but I think it's that vital. I'm telling you, if there was ever a series you want to commit to being here for, it's this series. Because I'm passionate about this. We're going to live passionately. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to love completely. We're going to learn from our past. We're going to leave a legacy. We're going to leverage our influence. Johnny Hunt would be super proud of that sermon. All the points start with the same point. That's Baptist stuff right there. I learned that in Baptist Bible College. All the points either got to start with the same letter or they got to rhyme. That way people remember it. It just kind of worked that way. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about that, but today I want to talk about the first one. If you're going to live the life you were created for, you have got to learn to live life passionately. Listen to what I'm about to tell you, and also listen to what I'm about to tell you about passion. Nothing ever happens great in life without passion. The driving force behind all great music, all great art, all great literature, all great drama, all great architecture is passion. It fuels everything. Without passion, we are simply living life, going through the motions. Passion is what makes things great. You ever been to a restaurant that's a chain restaurant, but then been to a restaurant where a chef started his own place and he's passionate about it? There's a difference. There's passion in it. You ever dealt with a builder who's building a custom home and he's building what he wants is passion as opposed to building spec homes just over and over and over? Passion is what makes things great. Passion pushes athletes to break records. It pushes scientists to discover cures for diseases. Passion is what gives us life. And if you're going to live the life you were created for, you need to understand the power of living passionately. That is the kind of life we were made to live. God did not create you to live life without passion. We're going to make the most of our life and take advantage of the one life we have. I'm telling you today, you better learn passion. Now, let me explain something to you, because all you negative Nancys out there are like, well, I'm not like you, Gary. Never mistake passion for being loud. It can transform into being loud. But some of the quietest people I know are some of the most passionate people. It doesn't mean you got to be like me and want to spew and be loud and be the center of attention. That's not passion. That's the problem. Again, the devil's watered down what passion is. It's cheapened what passion is. We look at external things and say, boy, Gary's passionate because he's loud and he waves his hands and he screams and he's always up. And No. You can be just as passionate and be the exact opposite personality-wise. So don't get caught up in the exterior of what passion is and just realize passion is what gets you out of bed in the morning. Well, I don't have anything to get me out of bed. No shit, Sherlock. That's why you're miserable in life. That's why you're negative in life. That's why everybody avoids you in life. Well, you just don't know what I don't know what you've been through. But here's the deal. Sorry, baby, you don't know what I've been through. It don't make you, oh my. I'm getting sweaty. I'm a hairy man. You don't realize this. Listen. You're not special because you've had a hard time in life. Everybody in this room has had a hard time in life. The difference is you want to wallow in your heart. You want to feel sorry for yourself. You want everyone to pay, oh my God. You focus on the negative instead of the positive. And if that offends you and upsets you today and you think I'm talking directly about you, I probably am. But I not because I wanted to, because the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you. God, we get to live life. It's amazing. Every stage of life is amazing. I've been in this sentimental family stage of life. Emily comes in the other night. She's sitting on the ottoman. She's talking to Christine. She's talking about, because she talks to us. She knows how to talk to us. We've created a safe environment for her to talk to us. And she's talking about issues, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to her, and I'm looking at her, and it was the first time ever. I told Kristen, I said, I didn't see a little girl. She's graduated high school. She's in an internship for what she wants to do in her life. She don't have time for petty high school drama anymore. She's making more money than some of y'all are making. I helped her get her dang car fixed the other day. I said, man, something's wrong with her car, and I paid, called the guy and had it fixed. I told Kristen, I said, I'm sure she needs it. And she goes, well, that was nice of you, but you know how much money she has in the bank? I said, what? How much? She got more money in the bank than I got in the bank. Man, and I got, I was just like, man, she's an adult now. That's weird that she's an adult now to me. Now, I still bust a man's ass. He messes with her. Don't get no wrong, and I'll bust hers too. But I've been sentimental, just going back and thinking about when she was little and thinking about, like, the second time I ever picked Emily up when me and Christine started dating, I took her to Burger King. I was poor. I was broke. And I got her they used to have 99-cent ice cream cones. Fat people know where all the cheap sweets are. I knew where it was. So I picked her up the second day, and I said, hey, you want to go to Burger King and get one of those ice cream cones? Not a Burger King one. I was like, well, you sit your ass back there and don't get any ice cream then. I took her home. I was just thinking what a little snot she was. But I'm in this sentimental stage. Like, we're looking at homes yesterday. And, man, we were just looking. We're not talking about buying a home. We're just looking. And I remembered when we lived in a home, the first home Christine and I bought. This is not a made-up story. The first home Christine and I ever bought, you pull out of this driveway, you take a right, and it's two blocks up on the right. Didn't even have a kitchen. Didn't even have a kitchen. You say, what do you mean? It did not have a kitchen. It was a home they had turned into offices. The kitchen was now the break room. That seems bad enough, doesn't it? How about this? It did not have a shower or a bathtub in it. All the bathrooms were commercial bathrooms. How about this? It did not have heat and air in it. That's the first house we bought. You say, why'd you buy a house like that? Because it's all we could afford. I remember it was $135,000. You can't buy a camper for $135,000, a trailer for $135,000 now. And I remember we bought that house, and I remember being stressed over how much it was a month. And now we're looking at homes that I never in a million years thought I could afford. And it just puts things in perspective. Life is good. Here's the funny thing. I'm not any happier today than I was then. Because I love life. Some of you need to learn to live life and live passionately. The Bible says in Mark 20, love the Lord God with all your heart and soul and mind and your strength. Look what the message says about the same verse. Love the Lord God with all your passion, prayer, intelligence, and energy. God created everyone here to have passion. Has nothing to do with being an extrovert. It has nothing to do with being an introvert. It has to do with feeling things so deeply. Having something that makes your heart leap. It makes you want to get out of bed in the morning. You say, I don't have that. Then you need to discover it. That might not be your career. It might be your spouse. It ought to be your spouse too. It might be your children. You might get old like Doug Knight, and it might be making birdhouses. I don't understand that, but he gets excited about birdhouses. Good. Got to have passion. The Bible says, and check this verse, I like how it's worded, Romans 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I find it really interesting that word keep is there. When it says keep your fervor, that implies that we can lose it. We can lose our passion. Matter of fact, I think it's real easy to lose our passion. We can get in the routine. We can get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent. We can get to something goes bad in our life and it saps us and life doesn't go like we thought it would go. It never does, baby. Man, life can beat you up. Let me repeat that. Life can beat you up. Sometimes in life, man, it's cliche, but it's one step forward and it's two steps back. I remember when Christine and I were starting to get our finances in order, it was like, man, we'd get a little bit of money in the bank, and something would break. We'd get a little more money in the bank, and something bigger would break. We'd make a bunch of money doing an event, and then we'd lose the same amount of money on the next event. Like, it's just life. Life can be hard sometimes. The problems and the pressures and the stresses of life, they can get you to the point where you don't feel passionate, but you got to find what makes you passionate. I posted this on Facebook this week. Howard Thurman said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. God needs you passionate. God needs you on fire. God needs you with zeal. So you're saying, Gary, how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Because it sounds really good, don't it? Live passionately. Hell, if we could do it, we'd do it. I used to hate when preachers would get up and be like, you got to do this and you got to do that. And they never tell me how. Sounds great. Love my enemies. Sounds good. Hard to do. You better tell me how to do it. But you know what I dig about God? Is he tells us how to do it. And if he doesn't tell us directly how to do it, he gives us stories where it happens. Check out this story in the Bible. Some men were carrying a paralyzed man, Luke 5. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. And they tried to take him to the house and lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. That's good stuff. Paralyzed man, friends want to get him to Jesus. They go to take him to Jesus. There's a crowd around. Most of us would have gave up. We tried. I tried the marriage thing. I tried the business thing. I tried the get active with my kids' life thing. It was hard, so I quit. We tried to get our friend to Jesus, but there were so many people we couldn't do it. I believe these guys were like Canton boys, though. I mean, we can't get through the crowd. Here, hold this beer for a minute. But if we could get on that back right corner of that house, I bet we could lift him up on the roof. Cut a hole in the roof and drop him down before Jesus. That's passion. That's people who believed in what they were called to do to get their friend to Jesus. Look what it says. He's standing in front of Jesus. But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of the, and he took what he had been laying on and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. What if you could get up every day and say, we have seen remarkable things today. I want to live a life where every night me and Christine sit down to eat dinner and I look at her and say, you ain't going to believe what happened today. And that's my life. Every day. Every day. People are always like, I've never seen a couple that talks as much as y'all talk. We talk all the time. All the time. Because we all have something to talk about. Every day, I'm like, you ain't going to believe what happened today. Can you believe this door opened up today? Man, that door closed over there, Christine, but these jokers called me and they want me to do this type of event. Who would ever thought I was doing that type of event? That happened this week. Christine's like, yeah, but you want to do that type of event 6 years ago, don't you remember? I was like, oh, I forgot. She goes, the door closed, but it looks like it's opening again. Just every day I want to see, look at remarkable things that happen today. Y'all can't live life that way because you live life unpassionate and you overlook the small things. You're in the tiny of the urgent, man. You got to get the kids to softball. You got to get the kids to football. You got to get the kids to basketball. But what remarkable things are happening in that? I want to notice every moment. We go to football last night, 5 o'clock. You think I want to have football game at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? That's not how that's getting close. I get up early, but I'm old. I go to bed early. 5 o'clock's dinner time in the Lamb House. We had to go to Sprayberry. I got a rule. I don't go past Woodstock. That's my rule. Got to go to Sprayberry. I missed the exit. Got to go do a U-turn driving through. Then I pull. Oh, I was just frustrated to see my son play football. And then the first play of the game, he busts through the line and sacks the quarterback on the first play. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's remarkable. I remember 2 years ago, that kid wouldn't hit anybody. And I found myself just enjoying passionately the little things in life. Because guess what? He ain't going to do that much longer. I got about 4 more years of that. Just living life passionately. Not getting distracted. I love this passage, man. I love that it focuses on the determination, the intentionality of these friends. Nothing was going to stop them from getting their friend to Jesus. I love that, man. We have seen remarkable things today. I want to live a life where every day people are like, man, we have seen remarkable things today. I doubt very seriously anything will come out of this. Because I doubt I will allow it to come out of it. But this week I get a message sent to me. And a guy says, can you call me? Guy I haven't talked to in 15 years. He said, man, I noticed he had just started following me again on social media about 6 months ago. He said, what have you been up to? And I said, man, blah, 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 blah. And he reminded me, I forgot about this. He used to teach a course called Dream Year. I took that course 15 years ago. I forgot all about taking the course. And it was a monthly course, and you got on, and he helped you kind of figure. And he goes, don't you remember 15 years ago I told you ought to promote events for a living? I said, man, I forgot about that. That's cool. He goes, man, I love watching what you're doing. He said, I said, what have you been up to the last 15 years? He said, well, I've got connected in the TV and movie industry. And he told me some shows that he's connected with. I've watched some of the shows. He said, man, I've watched you. He said, your social media is like a reality show. Now, he didn't know what I was preaching on. This is what he said. He goes, it's remarkable. And I can't wait to log in and click on your stories and post to see what you're doing today. He goes, I want to shoot a pilot episode with you. I doubt very seriously I'm going to even do that. But here was the deal. He noticed other people living remarkable lives. In his chaos of all of his social media, he noticed somebody passionate about life. Imagine if your family noticed you passionate about, hey, man, imagine if your kids saw you passionate about life. Hey, what if your wife saw you passionate about life? Not talking about what you were going to do, but actually doing it. Man. Man, 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 you got to live passionately. You got to do with these things. It would just be amazing to me if we could live a life where we said, man, today is remarkable things. These dudes are trying to get their friend to Jesus, but in verse 19, there's a crowd of people and they can't do it. They can't do it. Don't miss this. Most of us would have turned around because here's the problem. The reason we don't live life passionately is because our life is crowded with stuff. And we get so caught up in the stuff that we allow it to deter us from remembering what we showed up for in the first place. So what do we do? How do we live passionately? Well, the text lays it. The first thing we're going to do, and I got to wrap this up, we're going to do something drastic. Do something drastic. I love verse 19. Look what it says. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. They lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. That's drastic. They're trying to get their friend to Jesus. The crowdedness, the busyness of life is distracting them and become a barrier for them doing it. They did not make excuses. Oh, by the way, the reason most of you will never live life passionately is because you make excuses about everything. Must be nice. If I had what you had, I'd step out and do it. I didn't have what I had when I stepped out to do it. I tell this story because it's happening this weekend. Jeep Fest is happening in Jasper. 9 years ago, Christine and I were broke. So we went to Jeep Fest. You know why we went to Jeep Fest? Because if you didn't have a Jeep and weren't riding the trails, it's free. So we went up there to walk around and look at other people enjoying life. We're walking around, and I looked at her and I said, I can do this. I was really into barbecuing at the time. It's like smoking stuff in my backyard. I said, I'm going to start a barbecue festival. I say a lot of things to Christine. She's like, okay. I had $10,000 in the bank. I'd never had $10,000 in the bank in my life. 90 days later, I had $0 in the bank because I'd spent all $10,000 of that dollars to host the first barbecue and brews festival in downtown Canton. In 90 days, I put it on. Almost 18,000 people showed up to downtown Canton that day. Food trucks had two-hour waits to get food. So many people showed up. We had 30 taps of beer. It was barbecue and brews. We ran out of beer at 6 o'clock. The event went to 8 o'clock. While the event was happening, when I tell you, massive thunderstorms were everywhere. The police kept coming up to me saying, it's coming. I'll never forget. It's at Target. It's going to be here any moment, and you're going to have to stop. If it starts thunder, I said, okay. They'd come up to me later. It was Kmart at the time. It's over at Kmart where Ollie's is now. It's coming here. In 10 minutes, it's going to be here. Festival ran from 12 to 8. At 8:05, people are leaving. I'm standing in the middle of the road. There used to be a picture. I've got to find it. And a monsoon comes. I've never been so happy to clean up a festival in pouring rain in my life. You say, why are you telling me that story? Here's what I'm telling you. We did something drastic. We laid it all on the line. That $10,000 was the most money we ever had, but that $10,000 wasn't going to help us live the life we wanted to live. So why not just throw it all on the table for something we believed in, and God's blessed because of that. They're trying to get their friend to him, and they cut a hole in the roof. That's pretty drastic. Most of us would have never done that. If you're going to live a life of passion, if you're going to live the life you're created for, you're going to have to make some drastic lifestyle changes. I'm not talking about altering your life a little bit. I'm talking about doing what is necessary to live the life you were created for. Because if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. And that's the problem. Most of y'all want a different life, but you don't change what you're doing. I don't understand why my marriage don't get better, because you're doing the same stuff you've always done. I don't understand why I don't have more money, because you don't know how to manage your money. You ain't got a money problem, baby. You got a spending problem. You keep spending money. You can make all the money in the world. If you spend it, it don't do you any good. You want to keep doing the same thing over and over and wondering why life don't change. That's the definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting for a different outcome. You need some drastic changes. Some drastic changes. You got to be willing to do whatever. It means you might have to go buy a $135,000 house with no kitchen and no bathrooms because it's what you can afford. And we lived and we made it work. We put one shower in there. And we lived. At that time, we had 4 kids in the house, 6 of us, 1 shower. How'd you do that? People did it for years. People used to go back and wash in the horse trough. That's how spoiled we are. That was the best move we ever made financially. Because when I sold that house, we sold it for a whole lot more than $135,000. And bought the house we live in now. And when we sell that house, we'll have a whole lot more money to put down in the next house. The problem is, most of y'all wouldn't be willing to make that sacrifice. I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying that's why you live a life of no passion. You're scared. You're comfortable. Every time I have a new idea, what do we say, Christine? I say, I'm going to put it all in the middle and go for it. And this is what we always ask. is this idea worth having to go live in a one-bedroom apartment if it doesn't work? If the answer is no, we don't do the idea. If the answer is yes, and most of the time, I say, let's go. I'm not afraid of starting over. And now I got a 10,000-foot office. I moved a whole family up in that bad boy. I don't want to. It's got a fenced-in area for the dogs and everything. Got to do something drastic. Here's my question for you. If you knew you had 1 month to live, how would you live different? What would matter to you? What would be important if you knew you had 1 year to live? 1 month isn't fair, because in 1 month you'd quit working and wouldn't take care. How about this? You knew you only had 5 years to live. So in 5 years, you still got to pay the bills. You still got to go to work. You still got to do whatever. If you only had 5 years to live and they knew in 5 years you were going to die, what would you do different today? You're not promised 5 years, so why not start doing it? Do something drastic. Now, here's the deal. When you begin to live a life of passion, you better learn to expect the unexpected. You prioritize your life based on what's important. You plan. You come up with the greatest formula in the world. And guess what happens? Life interrupts you. Life laughs at your plans. Life laughs at your system. You thought you had it all figured out, your nice little neat 10-year plan. And life says, hey, bend over. The unexpected happens. When you're living a life of passion, you need to expect the fact that sometimes just crazy and hectic things will happen. That's when you've got to learn that when life doesn't go the way you want it to go, to lighten up and say, God, I get this, you're in control. My wife, she's got better at it. But she used to hate that I had this phrase. It is what it is. It is what it is. I can't control it. I can't change it. All we can do is roll with it. The unexpected happens. These dudes had a plan. We're going to show up. We're going to get our friend in front of Jesus. Jesus is going to heal our friend. They did not expect a crowd to be there and them had to come up with another plan. You better have a plan B, baby. You better have a plan D, baby. Hell, if you're Gary Lemon, you better have a plan Z, because you're going to need it. But when you're passionate about what you're doing, you don't care. I don't care about the skin. I care about the bones. The what's not important, it's the why to me. Here's why I'm doing it. Now, what does it look like to do it? I want to create community. I don't care. Wrestling, fights, art, barbecue, I don't care. I want to create community. It's easy to say yes to this, this, and this if it creates this. If it doesn't create community, I don't want to do it. These dudes had a plan. When they lowered their friend, and then something else happened. Look what it said. When Jesus saw their fate, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. That was unexpected. They didn't bring him there to get his sins forgiven. They brought him there to get him physically healed. The whole reason they got him to Christ was so Christ could heal him and he could walk. But Jesus looks at him first and says, I'm going to forgive you of your sins. It was completely unexpected. The man could have said, Jesus, you don't get it. That ain't why I'm here. I'm here to walk. But Jesus knew he needed to get internally right before he could get physically right. Some of y'all can't get physically right because you ain't internally right. You want your relationships to get better, but you don't want to get better. You want your business to get better, but internally, you're operating with no character. It's not how it works. Jesus knew he had to get him right on the inside before he get him right on the outside. Man, I'm in a season of blessing right now. I don't think it will always be that way. That's just not how life goes. But I'm in a season of blessing because a year ago I put in the work to start getting the inside of me right, and now the overflow of that is evident. I'm not ready to share all that with you yet, and I might not ever share it with you. But what I'm telling you is, internally, I'm healthier than I've ever been. And the overflow of the internal is the blessings on the outside. We have an unpredictable God. We've got to allow him to be unpredictable. These men showed up. They could have seen that crowd and saw a problem. That's the problem. Most of y'all see a problem. They saw an opportunity. Hey, we could have got him to Jesus, but now we climb on a roof. That's a good story. Anybody that's ever worked around me knows when it gets crazy, I look at him and be like, man, we're going to have a good story after this one. I love a good story. Hell, I'll go complicated just to have the good story. I love a story. I love crazy. This is right up my alley. Let's climb on the roof. I got about 30 of you going on a cruise with me in 2 weeks. We're going to have some stories. Listen, y'all going to have a year's worth of stories and sermons. If you're going to live passionately, you've got to expect the unexpected. It's never going to go like you want it to go. But God's still in control of that situation. You're going to live a life of passion. You've got to create God's space. This is the number one thing that was lacking in my life for so long when I was unhealthy. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. They lowered him on the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Right there in the middle of the crowd, they created room for him and Jesus. In the midst of your crazy life, if you want to live life passionately, you better make time for Jesus. Your walk in life will go as your personal walk with God goes. My wife will come up to me at times, and she'll ask me, and it used to make me irritable. Now I realize it's because she loves me in her crazy, whatever way she loves me. I don't know why she would, but she does. She'll let me ask you a question. I'm like, what? How's your God time? Why are you asking? Because she can start to sense things. She knows when my God time is not right. Woo! I can go crazy. I'm crazy when my God time is right. Every day I leave our house at what time? 7:15, 7:20. I go to the office at 7:30, and that's my God time. And if I don't have that God time, it could be something as simple as just listening to worship music. Sometimes it's doing a devotion. Sometimes it's reading scripture. If I go 1 or 2 days without that time, I start to get off kilter. Now, here's the good news. At 48, finally, I have learned that I need that time. Just this week, I told her, I said, man, I got to go in early tomorrow. She said, why? I said, man, the last 2 days got crazy. I got there and started having to do this, and I ain't had my God time. Now I'm learning to identify I need that God time. And when I'm not having that God time, I make sure I have the God time. Probably been the biggest shift in my life. But as my personal walk with God goes, there I go. Christine and I used to have this mindset. I call it the then-when or when-then. When things slow down, then we'll do this. Life is never going to slow down. So you better make sure you're making time for God. Oh, by the way, you got time for what you want to do. You got time to make sure you don't miss your TV show. You got time to make sure you watched your favorite football team yesterday. You got time to make sure you went and had a drink with the boys. I'm not saying anything's wrong with those things. But when it comes to God, we suddenly just don't have time for it. You better make that time. If we don't make time for the important things now, they're never going to happen. Look what Jesus did. Even Jesus did this. Very early in the morning while it was still dark. While it was still dark, he knew once he got up, he was going to be busy. He knew there was going to be people all around. Very early in the morning when it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. He knew he had to take time. I was in a habit of getting up at 4:30 every morning and going. I got sick a couple of weeks ago and quit doing it. What I say all week? I said, this week, I got to start getting up. Now, here's when I say that. Everybody says, whoa, Gary. And I know their heart's in the right place. You're about to hit your busy time. Just take that extra hour of sleep. Make sure you're resting. I don't need to rest. I need time with God. Me getting an extra hour of sleep doesn't help me. I'm high on life, baby. I'm not saying that to be funny. I don't need an extra hour of sleep. But I need that hour of time with God. Extra hour of sleep don't send me down the crazy path. My time without God, I start operating in the flesh. My fuse gets short. I start to get temperamental. I start to get where you don't want to be around me more than normal. I'm telling you, you want to live passionately, you better create God's space. I don't care if it's 10 minutes. You're driving into work, 10 minutes of just God time. The secret to maintaining your passion in a crowded world is making sure you have time to get in front of Jesus. Man, I'm running out of time. I could talk so much about that, but I'm not going to. Make sure you're creating God's space. Look what it says. Proverbs 10, reverence for God adds hours to each day. Check that verse out. When I make time for God, suddenly I just get hours added to my day and it all falls into place. When I don't make time for God, I'm running chaotic trying to get it all done. I can't explain it in the natural, but it's because it's supernatural. It doesn't make sense to me. It just, things fall into place when I start my day with God. So you want to live a life passionately? Do something drastic. Expect the unexpected. Create God's space in your life. And then last of all, I think this is important, keep a constant reminder. I cannot understate the importance of this. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up. He healed him. He didn't tell him to get up. Look what he says. Take your mat and go home. It's interesting to me. See, sometimes y'all just read the scripture and you don't read the scripture. He could have just told that man to get up and go home. You're healed. Boy, your legs are working. Skip to Malugu, go home. He said, take your mat. You know why I think he said, take your mat? Doesn't make us bad, just makes us human. As time goes on, and we get further and further away from specific blessings, we forget how good God was to us in that moment. It's kind of like a new car. Get a new car, well, it's got that new car smell. Keep it clean, you keep it great. Until the first time you're running late and you eat in it one time. Once you eat in it one time, boy, it's downhill after that. And you forgot. It's not that you don't care about the karma. You just forgot the newness of it. He knew this man was going to get busy living life. The newness of everyone being blown away that he could walk in. He's going to have to go get a job now. He's going to have to do stuff. He's going to suddenly forget how good God was to him. So he said, take your mat with you. He was telling that man, when you come home and you look over there in that corner and you're complaining, when you're complaining today because you had to go to work, look over there and see that mat and remember when you couldn't go to work. When your wife looks at you and says, hey, I know you just got home and it's been a long day, but I need you to run down to the market and grab me some things. You're like, God, woman, look over there and see that mat and remember when you couldn't even walk to the mat and your friends had to carry you. You see what I'm saying? We lose passion in life because we forget how good God has been. We don't need to live in the past. We don't need to live in the past. But we don't need to forget what God's done. I posted it yesterday. It might have been yesterday. I can't remember. It might have been 2 days ago. I can't remember. I posted a picture. I was looking for another picture, and I saw this picture, and I posted it. It was me and Christine at a festival last year. So that picture to you looks like a normal picture because I post pictures of us all the time and she posts pictures of us all the time. But for me, when I saw that picture, again, I think I was feeling sentimental because, again, Jeep Fest was this weekend. That's when I felt called to do what I do. And I was remembering, man, I remember when I couldn't even afford to put on a festival. I remember the second festival I ever put on and looking at her because it was supposed to be 100% chance around. I said, call the accountant because we're going to have to go bankrupt Monday. That's a cool story, but it's a true story. I thought we were going to lose everything. I love going back and seeing those pictures and those memories because they remind me of what God's done in my life. I'll be real raw with you. I'm going to share a story for her. Not, I didn't ask ahead of time, so I probably shouldn't do this. It's no secret. We were honest. A year ago, we went through some stuff. Another day, she said, she goes, she loves Facebook memories. She loves to go see the little kids and, oh, look how cute Dexter was. Shut up. She said, man, it's hard to see these memories right now on Facebook. I'm sure. I'm sure it is. I was in a bad place a year ago. I'm sure it was. And I looked at her, and I could have got defensive because that's what most of us men do. Don't look at them. I said, yeah, I get that. I bet it is hard. I said, but you can choose to look at it one or two ways. You can go back there and look at it and go back there and live where we were. I said, or you can go back there and look at it and remind yourself how good God's been to us since. You need a constant reminder of how good God's been to you. It's not because we're bad people, but we forget how good God has been to us in the past. The greatest indicator of the future is history. God's never let you down. You might not feel like you can be passionate right now. You can be passionate. Go back and remember what God got you through. Your marriage might be bad now, but God got you. You might be chaos right now, but God got you through chaos in the past. Now, you need to examine why you're always in chaos. Probably ain't got no one to blame but yourself. But sometimes we need a reminder. I heard a preacher one time get him say, man, God has forgiven you your past and forgotten your past, and you need to forget everything that happened in the past. No. We don't need to glorify the past. We don't need to live in the past. Old cliche, oh, the front window's this big and the rearview mirror's this big. I believe in that. But there's still a rear mirror. There's times you've got to look up in the back. If for nothing but to remind you, I don't want to go back to what I was. Immediately. Immediately, verse 25. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been laying on, and went home praising God. Now, that doesn't mean that man didn't have any more problems. But every time life started kicking his butt, every time he felt defeated, every time he felt like quitting, he looked over there and saw that mat. And he remembered when he couldn't walk, when friends had to tote him everywhere. Hey, there's times, man, money gets tight in the lamb house. But I remember when I didn't even have any money for it to get tight. It just was tight. I go to fill up my gas tank the other day. $118. And I begin to think, God, I literally was like, I do not want to start my day like this. I need to start making sure I get gas the night before. End my day in a bad mood, not start it in a bad mood. There had to been a day when I called her and said, hey, I need to get gas. Is there $118 in the account? So I can focus on the negative of it, or I can be like, you know what? There's a day I couldn't afford to put $118 in my account. You need to remember God's been good to you. When you remember God's been good to you, how can you not live passionately? But Gary, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm not minimizing what you're going through. Live it with passion. Examine why you're going through it. Figure it out. Probably your own fault. Figure it out. I don't understand why I'm always in this mess. You don't, really? Because we all do. Don't tell me, I don't understand why my relationship's so much drama. Really? We all do. I'm not even trying to be mean. We all do. Consequences for your actions. YOLO! You only live once. The end of your life, you're going to want to know you lived a life of purpose. The first foundation in that purpose is to live life passionately. We're going to do something drastic, expect the unexpected, make God space, and keep a constant reminder. Immediately, I love that. Immediately he got up and walked away. That's how quickly you can change your life. Immediately. You know, a year ago, we're in the best place we've ever been. But a year ago, immediately, when we decided we were going to be together and divorce was not an option, immediately, things began to change. They didn't change where they are today, but immediately. We had to put in the work, but immediately, that's how quickly God will work in your life. But you got to live life passionately. Some of you, I love you to death. I do. I get it, man. I'm an a-hole. But I love you. I don't do this because I ain't got nothing else to do. I got plenty to do. I do this because I love being your pastor. But some of you are just miserable. And you're miserable over the things going on around you, and I know they're hard. But the Bible says you can only give an account for yourself. You can't control all those things. All you can control is how you handle them. You want a list of things? I'll go toe-to-toe with you. I'll go toe-to-toe with you on things. I got kids that ain't talked to me in 4 years. Boom. Check it off. Money still gets tight. Check it off. Cars still break down. Check it off. I got 16 events coming up. Guess what? Some of them 16 events, it's going to rain on that Saturday. I guarantee you I'm going to lose more that day than most of you will lose. I get it. What I'm saying is life is hard. You decide to live passionately or not. And if you decide not to, I'm sorry for you. I feel bad for you. You're wasting the only life you'll ever get. How sad.